Welcome to Profiling Criminal Minds Lockdown Check-In. I'm Dan.
I'm Sheila.
And, well, if you've been listening to these for the past few weeks, you'd know that this has transformed from a way to, from keeping us all sane during the pandemic to just us having our mind blown by America's continually worsening state of emergency. Like, how bad is it in America this week that they moved where the RNC is going to hold a convention because the state they were going to hold it in, North Carolina, said you'll have to do masks and social distancing if you want to do it here. And Trump said, that'll make me look weak. So I'm going to move it to a state where there are no laws or rules or anything to stop people from just getting killed for going to an event. And of course, that state was Florida. He's moved it to Florida.
And he's making everybody who comes to the convention sign a waiver saying that they will not sue Trump and his committee.
Or the RNC, or the venue, or the city, or any, if they die. Yeah.
If they get COVID-19.
Yep.
Like this sort of alternate universe that is the United States is really bizarre in my head. You know,
So fascinating is, so we've always talked about how conservatives in America live in a fantasy world, right? They live in this fantasy world where they're the reasonable ones and they're the ones who are oppressed, even though, you know, they have all of the power politically. Right. So they live in this fantasy world and have for decades now, maybe longer. We can debate when the conservative fantasy land started. The book Fantasyland can help you with that.
Yes, yes.
It's a very fascinating book about the conservative mindset and how the American dream has shaped it. And it's just an amazing book. Fantasyland. Check it out. Who's the author of that? Who wrote Fantasyland?
I never remember.
Okay, well, the point is, just go
never
to Amazon,
mind.
Type
oh,
in Fantasyland. It's an amazing book. She's going to look it up while I'm talking. Of course you are. But anyway, so this book, Fantasyland, it's amazing because it really delves into how this obsession with the fantastical started in the conservative mindset and what its effects are on policy. But the problem is now we're living in a time where the American fantastical mindset is bumping up against the fact that, you know, there's actually a plague going on.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't a question of, well, I just choose not to believe in climate change. Well, I just choose not to believe that black people are oppressed, blah, blah, blah. Like, people are, more than 100,000 people have actually died from a plague. Right? And the crazy part is American conservatism is just, we'll just keep pretending. Because that's their only response. Pretending things aren't bad, pretending things aren't getting worse, is their only move. And I thought this plague, I mean, I, like a lot of people, thought, oh, maybe this plague will snap them out of the fantasy world they live in. But it isn't.
Oh!
No, I mean, you're right. I know people like you told me I was being naive for thinking that anything could snap them out of the fantasy world they live in. This one's pretty... The fact that it's a plague and people are dying... Well, more than 1,000 people are dying every day. That's a 9/11 every 3 days.
Yes, I know. But you see, it's my historical insight.
I know.
It's like, look what people did during the 14th century when the Black Plague swept Europe. Right?
Yeah.
It's just sort of sitting there going, yeah, it's going to take a little. Well, it's my old line. I repeat it time and time again. I don't know how many people have to die before things really change.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of the race issue in the United States, clearly
the
George
was one.
Floyd was the sort of point at which, that doesn't mean that there haven't been more dying, like the Atlanta guy who fell asleep because he was drunk, drugged
Maybe.
Up, passed out, whatever.
We still don't
it
know.
Was.
Like, there hasn't been an autopsy to tell us if he was on anything. Maybe he was just really tired. We still don't know. But
No, he passed. No. He did fail A sobriety test,
Yeah, but
okay?
a
He didn't
sobriety
do that.
test is just touch your nose and walk a straight line. It's not a drug test. A
No, I
sobriety
know.
test. No, but
Yeah,
I'm just
but we.
saying, very tired people also fail sobriety tests.
Well, yes,
That's just a
never.
fact.
Okay, never mind. Okay,
No,
it's
I'm saying that, like,
10:30 at
I'm
night.
saying just yes, but yeah. Yes, but come on, it's America. People work three jobs.
Yeah, okay.
Like, there are
Yeah,
people
no.
exhausted off their ass from working for 20 hours at 4 in the afternoon. It's
Yes.
America. So
So
I'm just saying that
here.
maybe he was on drugs. We don't know yet.
Okay, but here's the thing, right? Is that
Please.
I'm sitting here going, when I said to you, yeah, Stacey Abrams came out and said, a man shouldn't be killed because he was asleep,
Yeah.
right? In a drive-through or a parking lot. It's not clear
If he was
exactly.
actually blocking the drive-through, if he was in the
Well,
parking
no,
lot
because
next to it.
people went around his car
And still
to
managed to go through the drive-through.
through the drive-through. Like
Okay.
it wasn't stopping commerce, right?
Okay.
Anyway, that seems to be the situation. But and then you said, well, why? And I said he was black. Like
Yeah.
I didn't know if he was black, but obviously he was black. I mean that's
Come
just
on.
the
It's
that's
America.
your th this is, these days. And cops. So what I just want to say to everybody is just go back and listen to Merle Haggard. I mean, I had to put Merle Haggard in, come singing Don't Take Your Guns to Town. Like I'm going, all these cops, because their first go-to is to pick up their gun
Yep.
and shoot somebody. And they don't shoot them in the leg. They don't shoot them in the arm.
No, they're
No,
taught to kill people.
they shoot to kill. And I'm going, are you out of your mind? They should all, their guns should be taken away. And they all should be made to sit and listen to Merle Haggard singing Don't Take Your Guns to Town for 24 hours straight.
Well, I
That's
think a key
the
part
only
that you
song.
have to remember
Maybe that'll
about
break.
it won't, but I think it'd be great if it could, but it won't. The thing to remember is that cops, when they're training, you're guaranteed to get like X amount, 30 hours or whatever, of gun training and gun handling, because they give you a gun. And the amount of training basically, you're not going to become a cop if you don't get gun training. That's just a fact. But nationwide, there's no standard for how much conflict resolution training you get. None. There's no standard for that. So depending on where you work as a cop, you might get no training in conflict resolution. And you or I might think, how is that possible? Isn't conflict resolution the whole job? And the way we think of cops, the way British people think of cops, the way Canadians think of cops, yes, conflict resolution is supposed to be the whole job. But, and I hate to use this language, but it's the language actual cops use. American cops think of themselves as essentially zookeepers who are keeping animals in line and keeping them from mauling innocent civilians.
Yeah, and the thing is that we've had a couple of really bad cases just recently. We've got two cop killings in New Brunswick,
I know. Ugh.
and both Native,
Yeah.
both First Nations peoples, both Mi'kmaq.
Yep.
So my roots, way
Yep.
back 200
Way
years,
back.
but my roots.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean we do have problems. Although the head of the RCMP has now said, yeah, she's figured out what sis clear she has clearly figured out what systemic racism means, and yeah, we got it in the RCMP, so she's done
Yeah.
that. Yeah, the head of our police force, our federal police force, is a female,
Yep.
right? And she came up through the ranks, so boy, has she,
She's
has
been
she,
through a lot.
she's been through a lot to make it to the head of the RCMP, I'll tell you.
Oh, God,
Anyway,
yeah.
because we've had our own sexual harassment problems in the RCMP. But
Yep.
I think, no, generally speaking, still, I would say most of our cops, I mean, in Sault Ste. Marie, even like we opened up, now mind you, we've had seven opioid overdoses in 2 weeks. Like it's just like, and deaths, right? And it
Yeah.
explained to me the other day on Thursday, the last was Thursday, there was an OPP cop car, right?
Right.
SUV, just barreling sirens on down my street, up my
Oof.
street actually. So it had to be one of the things on Wellington. But yeah, three of them are considered suspicious. And this is a place where you can get, so the, but the article is not about a whole bunch of things. It, this whole article about in Sault Ste. Marie, it explains that, first of all, people have often a lot more money than they're used to having, and they're buying and they're going, but you can't use this stuff. You have to be very careful with anything you buy, and you must have someone else there. And here's where you can go and get your naloxone, right? You can get it at Shoppers Drug Mart, our main, that's like a Walgreens. That's like America's Walgreens. You just go in and pick up a naloxone kit at Shoppers Drug
In
Mart.
case you overdose, yeah.
Yeah, at the group health center and at the Algoma Health Center,
Well, here's a
public
fun
health.
fact about the racial biases integral to the system there. Did you know? So I was playing this a video game set in the 1950s, and it's set in Canada. And at the end of the game, for reasons I'm not going to get into, the RCMP, shows up and shoots up a place. But I'm like, well, it's I don't know if that's the best depiction of the RCMP, but okay.
I've never heard of one case like I've heard of
I
a
know, I know, I
shooting.
know, I know. But I mean, it's a video game. They're a little ignorant about how things worked in the 50s in the RCMP. But the funniest part is the people casting the game rather insanely made the head RCMP officer a black guy. And I'm like, when I was playing, I'm like, that, there's no way that's historically accurate. And I looked it up, and here's the RCMP. There was not a black RCMP officer until like 1970,
Yeah.
which is crazy.
Yeah. And then we had a Sikh RCMP officer
And we had a huge scandal over
because he wanted to
turban and
continue
knife. Yeah.
his turban. The
Well, no, and
knife.
the knife.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the knife was not the major issue.
No,
I
the
mean,
turban was
they
the
let the.
major issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
But the
know, he
knife
could.
was an issue too.
That was more an issue in public schools.
Yes,
And
I
I'm
know.
going. And I'm sitting here going, yeah, well, you know, I'm sorry, but you're in Canada and maybe you should just change that particular tradition for the Canadian
Yeah,
populace.
maybe you don't have to carry a 8-inch
You don't
knife
send
around
your
everywhere you go.
7-year-old boy to school with, you know,
A
your
knife.
ceremonial, it, I mean, it's a whole ceremonial thing, right?
Absolutely.
It's religious and everything else. I understand that, but you're now in Canada. Turbans,
Yeah,
fine.
that's completely
That's what's
fine.
so funny is
The
that turbans
turbans,
don't.
yes. The beards, yes. The knives? Maybe we don't need the knives.
Maybe we don't need the knives, you
But
know?
that's all we're saying. Maybe
Yeah.
we don't need the knives.
Yeah. But anyway, the book also is Fantasyland, How America Went Haywire, a
Okay.
500-year history, and it's by Kurt Anderson,
Kurt
and you can
Anderson,
get the
thank you.
Kindle edition for probably about $10 or $11 in the
Well, that's
States.
good.
And if you want to get Audible, if you don't have Audible, you can get it free. It's a free audiobook if you take an
If you
Audible
sign, if you, yeah,
trial.
if you do the trial for Audible, right.
And then there are used in Canada, there are used ones from $9.90. So I
Nice.
suspect.
It's a very, the point is, it's a very good book, and you're going to learn a lot about the American mindset. And if you've ever wondered why Americans like just don't understand basic probability, like they don't understand the likelihood of things happening, it's covered extensively in here about how the fantastical mindset kind of corrupts all of American endeavor. And that sounds excessive, but it's also true.
Oh, it's a fat. It's well, and it's funny. It's in Kindle Books, professional and technical.
Oh,
That's what
really?
it's rated as,
Professional and
professional and
okay.
technical.
No,
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
I get it. It's just a weird thing to hear. Huh. All right, so let's move on to some stuff to talk about this week. All right, things got real scary this week because the big news was, I mean, I hate to say it out loud because, I mean, it'll make it real. So, Trump has decided he's going to start doing his rally, campaign rallies again. And he has decided to do his first rally on Juneteenth in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
You haven't seen the news today.
Oh, did he cancel it?
Last night, he changed it to June 20th.
So someone told him.
No, someone finally, no, it finally got through, obviously, to his campaign team
How
and to
bad
him
this was.
that this was just too bad. And I suspect every black person who has actually voted like this
Anywhere in his circle.
in anywhere in his circle, and there are some,
There's like
okay?
two or three, yeah.
And there's the guy
Ben Carson is still hanging on.
yes, Ben Carson is still there. And then there's the guy, because I don't think that, I really do not believe that Trump knew
He's
anything
never
about this.
heard of Juneteenth.
He's no, and he's
No,
never
never.
heard of the Tulsa,
Massacre.
Oklahoma massacre.
Nope.
And you cannot go to Tulsa. And I was sitting there, I was in agreement with you, except that late last night, he moved it to
The
June
20th.
20th.
He's
This
still
is the
going to Tulsa, though.
Oh yeah, he's still going to Tulsa, but okay, I'm going, okay, this is the first time that he has ever backed down.
That's not true. He backs down about everything all the time. The
Well,
his no no, he's a coward who's constantly backing down about everything all the time. And
except for,
everyone no, but like he'll just constantly go back on everything he says. He officially stands like his official position is I stand by nothing.
yeah,
So
I know.
no. I mean, I'm
But
just
I don't
saying
count
don't
that.
pretend he doesn't back down
Oh,
all the time
no.
about everything.
Well, yeah, but he back yeah, but he always backs down when he does something that the rest of us consider sane, and then
That's
24 hours later he backs down, right? No, hey,
true.
what are you talking about? There are, and
Yeah.
I'm going, no, I don't call that. This is the first time I would say that he's actually, I mean, there are a couple of other times he's had to, because the Senate said, we're going to lose the Senate if you don't
Yeah, and then he
cough
backs down.
up.
He
And
does this frequently.
well, that's a whole other thing.
It is.
This is something he doesn't believe there, and his campaign don't believe that there's systemic racism. They didn't even understand that there's something called
Juneteenth.
Juneteenth,
It's hard
and
to
that
say.
there's, and then they, of course, knew nothing about the Tulsa, Oklahoma massacre.
No. And I mean, the thing is, what this was is that this is they what they what Stephen Miller was trying to arrange, because we know this is all Stephen Miller, because he's even the one writing the speech. That's right. He asked Stephen Miller to
Is
write
back.
his race speech on race in America. Which is
It's
roughly the equivalent of asking gonorrhea to write a speech praising penicillin. That is roughly the equivalent of what happened here. But anyway, so he asked Stephen Miller to do it. And Stephen Miller is, fun fact, an actual Nazi. He's always been an actual Nazi ever since he was a teenager. There's like video footage of him as a teenager in high school. Just talking crap about, Mexicans. Because he's
Well,
always been this bad his whole life.
and the problem is his poor family just doesn't seem to
I
understand how
know.
it happened.
They're like,
They
how did
don't.
he end up such an asshole?
Yeah,
Is there
he's
seems to be their
there.
response. And like they keep apologizing for him and they're like, we just don't know how this happened. He's just the bad seed.
Anyway.
Switched at birth. Is he switched at birth with a, some sort of genetic racist? No, that's not a real thing. There's no genetic racists. We have no idea how this happened. It's a mystery to everyone. But anyway, so yeah, this was obviously his idea, because, Trump is completely, completely out to lunch on this sort of thing. He's never, like you said, he's never heard of Tulsi. He's never heard of Juneteenth. But if, in case you're, it's going to come up in my recommendation, but in case you're not familiar with the Tulsa massacre, it's one of, I believe, it's considered the worst act of racial violence in the history of America. Over 300 people were killed. An entire city was burned down. All because it was the place in America where black people were the most economically prosperous. And white people didn't like that, so they burned down the city that the black people own, Greenboro?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that what I would say is Americans who didn't get their History.
Yeah.
Their American history are now getting their American history.
Well, no, but
1920.
I mean, this is not taught
And
in
it's
schools.
1921. No, but that's what I'm saying. They're now getting their American race history. I mean, there's a lot of things, and of course, just go on Wikipedia. I would assume that article is good. I mean, I
Oh, yeah.
don't, I haven't, but
It's
it's
usually
Greenwood,
pretty
Tulsa,
neutral. Yeah.
right? It's just outside of Tulsa. And I mean, it was just
It was
800
horrific.
injured, 183 serious injuries, exact number not known.
Of course. And it's actually unique because it is one of, I believe, only two times in American history that civilians bombed other civilians from the air.
It was just God awful.
Yeah, they actually flew over. These people took their private airplanes and flew over the black part of town and just dropped firebombs onto it
And
from their
explosives.
airplanes. And
And
explosives
explosives.
and dynamite. Yeah, firebombs and dynamite. And they blew people up and they burned down the whole city. And the only other time that happened was when there was like a war between a mine union, miners union, and the Pinkerton agencies, and the Pinkertons just like got planes and flew over the encampment and started dropping grenades into the encampment. That's basically something that never happens in conflicts between civilians. So these are like the only two times it's ever happened,
Yeah,
which is kind of crazy. Yeah, that an air force came out to attack this town.
and
That's how
they,
bad this was.
it was just unbelievable.
It was 2 days of fighting, and it was a nightmare.
And they just destroyed basically, as they would say, the Greenwood District in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah, the
It was,
entire place was burned down.
and I think that people need to go and watch. This is not my recommendation because I have a different sort of recommendation this week. But just go and watch. Now, I've only seen the first part of the rep. It's called Reconstruction,
Right.
and it's a documentary. It's on PBS, so just go watch that to give you an idea of what happened after the Civil War was over.
Yeah,
And
and
then, I
how
mean, and
America
nobody.
could have been fixed, but the North surrendered after they'd already won the war, is the
Yeah, it
short
was.
version of the
It,
story.
yeah, it's the short version of the story. It didn't happen right away because there were all sorts of blacks in Congress, and because there were lawyers and there were lawyers and doctors and things like that.
Course.
And it was okay. It says here in the Tulsa Massacre. I just want to get this straight
Please.
because I think you've got too many people dying in the Tulsa Massacre.
I've heard it was 300, but I could be wrong.
The commission gave overall estimates. A 2001 State Commission examination of events were able to confirm 36 dead, 26 black, 10 white, based on contemporary autopsy reports. The commission gave, yes, an overall estimate from 75 to 100 to 150 to 300 dead, depending.
Yeah, okay. So the
800
300 number
people.
is the outside estimate,
And
but that is the
then,
number I hear reported.
okay, and then, okay, and then they interned probably around 6,000 black residents
Whew.
afterwards. 800 people were admitted to hospital. I think I said
Damn.
that. It's
So yeah,
just.
it was brutal and it was horrific. And here's a fun fact. Well, it's not a fun fact. In case you're not familiar with this Juneteenth everyone's talking about, the significance of it
No,
is
yeah.
June 19th. And so the Emancipation Proclamation happened in January. But because there was no radio, it took a while for the news to spread around America. And so the last state, like the last state in America to find out about the Emancipation Proclamation was, yeah, it's not hard to guess.
Let everybody
All right,
get
take a second and
two
guess
seconds
yourself,
to
who would
try
be the
and guess.
last people who heard about the Emancipation Proclamation? 3, 2, 1. It's Texas, of course, it's
I
Texas.
was going to give them a hint. The
Oh
Alamo.
no, come on. They could figure it out just because they're obviously the last ones. But yeah, so it was
They
not
were.
officially read there until June 19th, and so June 19th is the day that emancipation had finally reached all of America, and all of American blacks were legally emancipated,
Oh, yeah.
which is
Okay.
great. And so that is Black Independence Day, essentially.
And Texas was forced to do it.
Oh, absolutely. Of course they were.
Wasn't
It's
like they
Texas.
willingly
No.
told their
No.
slaves that they weren't slaves anymore.
No, of course not.
I
They
mean,
were
they
having
fought Mexico to keep slavery.
they were in the middle of a war about that. But yeah, so they got
I'm sorry,
word
it's
on
not
June
funny.
19th. No, I know. June 19th, 1863 is when they got word about it, and so that is what we celebrate on June 19th. I mean, we don't celebrate in Canada, but you know, because it's an American holiday, and even in America, it's only a Black American holiday, which is kind of disgusting, you know, kind of
June is when
disgusting.
we have our Aboriginal,
That's true.
we have a holiday.
Yeah, that's true. But well, the interesting thing about it for me, because I only found out about this, you know, a year or two ago. I'm not from America. I don't know much about the Black experience, so I only recently found out about it myself. And I'm like, it is really sad that Black people have to have a separate Independence Day, but of course they do. Slavery. Yeah, like of course they have to. It just makes perfect sense. So what Trump and Stephen Miller, what Stephen Miller was trying to do, and Trump was just going along with, was what Ronald Reagan did in 1980. He kicked off his campaign for president in 1980 at the Neshoba County Fair in Philadelphia, Mississippi, which is where those civil rights workers were murdered by the KKK. And then went and he gave a speech about states' rights, wink. So what Ronald Reagan did was he went out there and he said, "Don't worry, racists, I might be a California, you know, I might be a California actor, but I am 100% down with racism and the oppression of Black people. Look, I'm kicking off my campaign where you people murdered those civil rights workers." And that is exactly what they were trying to do with this Juneteenth Tulsa, Oklahoma thing. Luckily, the media was on to them, and they have been for I can't believe they were forced to move it. Wow, you were
Yes,
right. It is shocking.
it is shocking that they were forced to move it one day. This is not like anything else,
No,
right? This is
this
one
is
of
new.
his rallies. It's going to be interesting to see how many people show up.
Yeah, I mean that's going to be very interesting, especially because he's not going to want to see anybody in masks. Or taking any precautions for their own or their
And
family's
how's
safety.
Oklahoma's rate of COVID-19 right now?
And now it's not great, and it's only going to get worse. Yeah, all of this, all of some of the blue states, but most of the red states are having huge spikes right now because we're coming in because we're two and coming in on 3 weeks after Memorial Day. So all of the people who went out and partied on Memorial Day are now getting sick and dying. Because everyone said that's what was going to happen, but because America is fantasy land, they just thought that they could have their own version of facts.
Okay, so they reported 225 new cases today. The
Oof.
Tate's positive cases are 8,073. 6,495 have recovered, 359 deaths. The question is, and I'd have to look at it, you know,
Yeah.
but I'm not going, oh, my good Lord, there were. I don't know what this is, but it looks like there were 148 cases in Tulsa that who were Canadian.
So here's something fun.
Anyway,
Here's something fun.
or there's a county
On the
called Canadian.
upside, we have just some completely good news though. And I was so happy to see this because, I mean, Trump going to war, like trying to ruin things for Black people in their holiday, you know, Trump making everything worse worse with
Yeah.
COVID. I mean, it's pretty bad. He attacked trans people this week, took away all their
That was
protections, so
coming,
yeah.
but my good
But yeah,
God.
so if you're trans, a doctor can refuse to serve you now, and your insurance can drop you now. So that's really bad. And that is his brand doing awful things for no reason. But within all of the bleakness this week, there was at least one piece of 100% yay, we can feel good about the world, good news. NASCAR banned the Confederate flag.
And any Confederate sort of memorabilia that,
Any memorabilia, any
yeah, okay.
flags, just all Confederate stuff cannot be at NASCAR. And I'm like, that's huge.
Huge. And only one driver so far has said, I'm never driving at NASCAR again. Well, so fine.
Yeah,
We don't
well,
want you driving in NASCAR.
if this is going to be the hill on which you die.
Yeah, please die.
Yeah, like we don't need you anymore, guy. But I just love that the single there's only one black driver in NASCAR, which is crazy to me. Like that there's only one, and because it's NASCAR, he's named Bubba. Like he's still a NASCAR driver, just because he's black doesn't mean he's not a NASCAR driver. But anyway, and he's like, and I love that he and his people were like, maybe you could cancel the flags, you know, of oppressive racism. And NASCAR actually did it.
But what's interesting, and I suspect there are a lot more African Americans who watch NASCAR. I mean, I
Oh,
love
absolutely.
car racing.
So
I
many
just
people,
love watching.
everybody love, across all demographics, there are people who love car races. 100%. You know, it's like that's just a fact. Whether it's NASCAR or IndyCar, people love watching these races. Like I've got people in Ottawa who I know people in Ottawa who go to Montreal for the Grand Prix.
Oh,
And
I'm
they're,
with
you
you.
know, ridiculous, and they are ridiculous liberals like I am. You know?
I have spent many a weekend at the Grand
Yeah,
Prix
race
in
weekend.
Montreal. No, because I was dating a guy. This is so long
Way,
ago.
way back when you lived in Montreal.
Way back when I was living in Montreal, and I was dating a guy, and of course he was friends with somebody who was driving, right?
Wow.
So I got to be down in the pit and the rest of it. So it
No,
was, you know, that was the one.
it's
But I
huge.
love racing.
The race culture is huge. And the fact that they're taking steps to make it more inclusive is fantastic. Like, there's no bad part of this story. It's just it is a 100% positive story. I mean, it's one of those things where I could be critical and say, well, it's sad that it took this long to do it, but what am I going to do? Like, complain that people are doing the right thing just because it took them too long to do it? No, like, it's time to be positive. They're trying to make a change for the better, and hopefully it works.
Well, what
Now,
I would say,
if they could just force that asshole at the Washington team name to change the team name.
from
I'm not
race
saying
to,
it. Nobody should
no,
say
okay.
it.
But anyway, you know, I mean, it's yeah, you
I
know.
lived in Washington. I used to have paraphernalia from that team. I don't anymore.
You sure there's not some
Oh no,
upstairs?
100% I'm sure. Don't
Okay.
believe you me. I have scoured to make sure that all of my childhood memorabilia of that team has been excised from my living space, believe you me.
Oh, okay,
'Cause, you know, I get it now. I didn't get it when I was a child.
well, who got it
Yeah.
even then? Because I mean, it was, and things were beginning to change. But and then, of course, it's Ted Turner's Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
And the rest of it too. But that changed. I mean, Jane Fonda does have some good influences
I know,
periodically.
right?
I do like, I mean, even
Every
if the
now and
marriage
then.
didn't last, we got Babylon 5 and the end of the tomahawk shop. Tomahawk
Yes, they
shop.
got rid of the tomahawk chop. Oh, that made me so happy. Take that, Atlanta Braves. Because
You know.
Braves, not a terrible team name.
No.
Cleveland Indians, that's a bad team name. You should change that. Go back to being the Spiders. You used to be the Spiders. It's a nice
Yeah.
name, the Cleveland Spiders. It's kind of creepy, but you know, maybe go back to that. But no, absolutely, the Washington football team has to change its name. Also, they need to give call some city needs to give Colin Kaepernick a contract. You know,
Well,
that's
yeah.
just common
Well,
sense, but baby
you,
steps.
well, baby steps. And the only thing I can say is if Trump loses the election in the fall,
Yes, then he'll get his contract.
and maybe Washington will change the name, because of course, you know, I mean, as long as Donald Trump's president, it's going to take a lot more than that, I think,
Yeah,
to
but that's gonna
for that
be, it's gonna be
owner.
huge.
But anything, any, all of these little things, like people don't seem to understand that images matter,
Yeah.
words matter, all of these things matter. I do not think that they should be erased from history. That is not the point, but they should be in a friggin' museum. That's why you have the Jim Crow Museum. You really want to know what it was all like? Go to a museum. You don't, you know, it's like you don't use Nazi flags. You want to see what Germany did, Nazi Germany did under Hitler? Go to Auschwitz. It's a museum.
The one problem there is, and this isn't, I mean, it is very good that it's museum. I'm 100% in favor of that, but the one problem with that is that neo-Nazis do love hanging out at Auschwitz. Scumbag people will go to any lengths to keep publicly being
scumbags.
Well, yeah,
but that's the same thing with everything. And I'm
no,
sure
no, no, I'm not saying you shouldn't do it.
Scumbag white supremacists. There are scumbag white supremacists who would go to Jim Crow Museum and say, see, it was so great back then.
Oh, no, absolutely. And that's the thing. You can't stop scumbags from scumbagging. That's 100% true. Like, you can't do it. I wish you could, but you have to. But the first thing you have to do is take down. And that's the other good news this week. The amount of Confederate statues that got torn down this week.
Well, and it's
they're like, we're not waiting for city councils. We're not waiting for state ordinances. We're just getting some chains and we're taking these things down.
Yeah.
Like, way to go, people.
Yeah. And then in Britain, right, they're taking down, like,
slavers?
In Manchester. Well, yeah, slave traders and colonists, right?
And colonizers.
And actually, over the past day, they've had, of course, a bunch of their far right white supremacists.
UKIP party
decided,
National Front,
the National Front, have decided to do a march and a protest.
Of course they have.
About them taking, of course they have, right?
The worst people are always going to stand. The worst people of today are always going to stand up for the worst people of the past.
Yeah, well, you
that's
know,
just a fact.
But the thing is, as you would say, you cannot change people's minds. But you can change the laws, and you can do the right thing. And yes, you can't change people's minds, but maybe sometimes some people will start to at least rethink. But it's very hard.
Absolutely.
It's very hard, but you just have to say, okay, this is wrong. And that is where I go to the problem with Trump. Like, this has been coming and coming. But because Trump became president, all of a sudden it was highlighted. It was just like, this is ultimately when he did that speech over Charlottesville.
Yep.
With the
good people on both sides.
Good people on both sides. I can hardly say it, right?
Oh no, I mean it's going to be that will be the footnote that every student learns about him in history class for the next 100 years.
Yeah.
That he's the guy who praised Nazis.
And what happened is, right, what happens then, though, it's like, and you could see it, like, I watched this in sort of full force on CNN, right, because they were trying to deal with something new, and they were calling him, and then they would bring on people who wouldn't say, who would just call him, what is it, 45?
Yeah.
Or who wouldn't say, there's lots of people who just will not utter his name. And but you could see them struggling with this and how long it took them to just say, no, he lies. They're lies. They finally in the whole newsroom, right? Because the whole organization has to make this decision.
Yeah.
Right. And how long it took them and how long, and they keep going on and on and on. And it was,
they're only just now starting to say he's lying in the headline, you know?
Well,
lot of the headlines will be, here is Trump's claim, and then in the article they'll explain why it's a lie. But, you know, now you're essentially every now and then getting headlines where it's like Trump makes false claim.
Well, it was Colin Powell. It was Colin Powell who said, well, he just lies. He said, I never thought I'd say that about a president.
Yeah,
he said,
he just lies all the time.
And I'm going, and you can see because – and this has been the problem with news organizations, that they haven't had to deal with this. But this has been coming. This has been part of United States history that gets kind of washed it's not even washed. It's like you go, okay, well, we've had this thing and these things have changed. But at the same time, like after Rodney King, you saw things change. But you saw friggin' Gates militarize the police and then spread that
all across the
that
country.
Disease of police militarization across the country.
Yep. Like, it's all down to Daryl Gates and Rudy Giuliani.
You know, between the two of them. And, you know, so you see all of this, and it's just, but it slowly creeps as the whole, whatever you want to call it, liberals, I don't even want to call it liberal side of things, the humanity side of is, you know, is sort of talking about race. Like, I still remember, I mean, and people could go back and read Audrey Smedley's Race is a Social Construct.
Yeah.
And the problems that, you know, I mean, the back and forth about that, and all of these new books that came out in Black history. Like, I used Audrey Smedley, like, trying to get my students to understand, like, when I came back to the Sioux, about...
She's talking about Sioux St. Marie, Ontario, by the way.
Yeah, Ontario, not Canada. Yeah, and trying to get them to understand that racism, that race, this idea of race, the way it is constructed today, is a social construct.
It's just something we made up.
It has nothing to do with, you know, any sort of genetic variables and stuff like that. So you're trying to explain that. It's very hard. And I mean, I think I might have told this story before, but I can still remember my first and second year, like one of the students coming up, right? And saying, and she was, I don't even know exactly. She was probably Canadian African or American African coming to Algoma, right?
Right.
And she's saying, she was talking, she says, but they're all saying there's no race. Like, it was, she was with a group of her girlfriends and they're all white, right?
Yeah.
And she's saying, but they're all saying there's no racism in Sault Ste. Marie. There's racism in Sault Ste. Marie, isn't there? Well, I said, yeah.
Of course.
Duh. You know, like, that's not even... Now, it's like sexism, but sexism is the most pervasive,
of course,
in some ways, but we have never had much in the way of what you would call visible minorities in Sault Ste. Marie.
So they haven't, honestly, all the racists haven't had a chance to be racist.
Well, there hasn't
recently.
Been, right? And then when we started, when Algoma, and then it became worse. So I can see why these girls would think. Because, you know, as I always say, the Italians were the blacks of Sault Ste. Marie.
Oh, decades.
Okay, and then First Nations people, that was a whole other thing. And there was racism there. There was no question. But it was this other question. But it wasn't like American, but even when, but we started to bring in all sorts of people from all over the world. Mm-hmm. First, there were a lot of Japanese and Chinese that came. And then we started to bring in, you know, people came from all these different countries in Africa and in Southeast Asia. And yeah, and you can see it now. Like, we have 65% of our full-time, when you do our FTEs, which are full-time equivalent, in at Algoma is from someplace else. They're all international students, which means they ain't white. And so you are seeing the issue, you know, and you're getting people from the Caribbean countries, like, because they did a real push at one point in the Caribbean countries. And so, yeah, you have this. So we have a Northern Ontario Afro-Caribbean Association, or it's probably got another word in there, just like at Carleton, they had one a long time ago. But we now have one for Northern Ontario. And so we actually had, we didn't, in COVID-19 territory, we didn't have a march. What we had was a motorcade.
Oh.
Last week.
That's nice.
In support of Black Lives Matters, right? And what's going on in the United States. And to make people aware that we have it here too. Now, as I say, it's just because we have been so, I mean, the first time I really started to hear things that was when an Indian, like India Indian, company bought Algoma Steel, and then they brought over people from Pakistan to work. Oh, gee. Oh, my Lord. Well, the Pakis are taking all the. Oh, God. And so then I have to sit there and explain. I'm so nice about this because you're not going to change people's minds by getting mad at them.
Nope.
As hard as that is, except now, like when it gets this bad. But on a one-to-one basis, right, with this little woman. No, because it was specifically about apartments. And I'm going, so you have to kind of talk them down out of this because this is just something like I knew this woman and she worked in the kitchens and stuff and something she heard, right?
Right.
It wasn't something she knew
No,
because
it's
it
just a
didn't
rumor she heard.
affect her. It didn't affect her because I kind of asked her, we had a conversation about all of this over our cigarettes. As I said, the biggest problem about banning cigarettes is some of the most interesting conversations happen among people who.
During smoke breaks, absolutely. That's just that everybody knows that, but you know.
I went to Harvard once, right?
Yeah.
And it was on domestic violence and sexual abuse and the rest of it. And of course, there was no smoking anywhere, right? It was Harvard. And so you had to go like blah. There was one smoking area outside, blah, but the weather's always good there in Boston and at that time of the year. And so I was at this, right? And so then there were a bunch of us, just us smokers, and we started talking about some of the things that had been going on in this because it was all about like child sexual abuse, child abuse, family, domestic violence, but family, and how to, we were just starting to deal with this. This was in the 80s. And anyway, so we're having this conversation and then this woman goes walking by, right? And says, oh, she says, maybe I should take up smoking. That sounds like a really attractive thing. Said, well, you can join us if you can stand the smoke, right?
Yeah.
But it
No, it's
was,
true. It's a very it does suggest a very casual situation.
yeah, it is
Just
very,
hanging out and smoking and it, people let their guard down.
yeah, and we yak about all sorts of things and how we
Oh
feel
yeah,
about
I get
things
it.
and stuff like that.
All
But
right, so to refocus slightly, the point you're getting at here is that it doesn't matter where you are. If, yes, race is a social construct, none of this stuff is real. We are just drawing lines to divide. And just FYI, if you believe in the bell curve, if you believe there are genetic differences between the various quote unquote races, you're wrong. I don't want to like just be the kind of guy who says, you're wrong. And I'm not going to spend hours here talking about it. Internet personality Sean has put together a 2-hour documentary explaining why the bell curve is nonsense. And I'm going to put a link to it in the little box below this video on what's it, on Podbean, if you see it there. Or you can just go to YouTube and type in Sean the Bell Curve. That's Shaun, not WN. And that's all you need to know about the bell curve and the myth of racial differences. There just aren't any.
Yeah,
It's as
well, what
simple
I
as
will
that.
just say just before everybody goes, understand that it was created. It's socially that things like the IQ test and then the bell curve, all of those things all have such a sociological component, and the basically Europeans created these things to be able to measure, and then when they went and measured, because they used, we had this problem in Canada. This is back in the 70s, okay, with the Foreign Service Exam. Okay, there is this massive Foreign Service Exam, and they actually had to change it because they wanted more women. The problem was that there were parts of the Foreign Service Exam that were clearly assumed that men were the ones. Like there was a whole bunch of stuff about military things, right? And
Military history that men are likely to have studied or taken those courses, and women are just less likely to have for cultural reasons.
yeah, for cultural reasons. So they had to make all of those things a lot more gender neutral. And it's
But
the
what it comes
same
down
with
to
race.
is the IQ, what we
Yeah.
currently call the IQ test, is so wrapped up in cultural assumptions and using European, Western European culture as quote unquote normal and the
Normative,
base.
yes.
Yes, normative, thank you, is the word I'm looking for. Right? That it is inextricably linked. And in the future, what we call IQ tests are going to be looked at as with as much disgust as we talk about the quote unquote literacy tests that were used to decide whether or not black people were allowed to vote in the South in America under Jim Crow laws. Like, that's how bad IQ tests are. And it's all fun, but I'm just saying, if someone tells you they're from Mensa, it is 100% to fine to just roll your eyes all the way back into your head.
I sort of sit there and go, well, yeah, I suspect that I couldn't. Well, I mean, oh, good Lord, Lord help
Yeah,
us, right? Some of us
exactly.
are very at, yeah,
We have
I
some
couldn't
skepticism.
stand. Oh, no, I mean, I this when I think about the people that I know who are have joined Mensa, because
I
I'm
know,
not
right?
talking, because there are lots of us who haven't, who wouldn't even think of joining Mensa. I can, well, you could come and join Mensa. Why
I
would I
could.
ever want to?
Why?
But why would I want to? Do you understand all of you, like all of these people who, no,
You're all insufferable.
well, you're not in my wheelhouse. Like, I
No.
can't talk to you guys, you know? But
I
anyway,
hear
well, I can't talk to half of my fellow academics, so.
that's a whole other
Yeah,
conversation.
never mind. Let's get
All
back to
right, but anyway, we are
capital.
now, of course, going to do what we should have done here to start with, but there's too many politics happening for us to just focus on what we're here to do. Let's recommend things. Hopefully yours is cheerful, because
Yes.
mine isn't. So I'm just
Okay.
going to do mine first, and we'll
Yeah,
end on the
that's,
cheerful one.
I think we'll do yours
It's for the
first. Well, mine
best.
is sort of cheerful.
Hopefully.
Yes.
All right, so anyway, just last year, the people, Damon Lindelof, who made Lost and is generally not a fantastic writer, made a Watchmen TV show. Based very loo I mean, it's a direct sequel to, but it's also very loosely based on Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons's Watchmen, the most important comic book ever written. It's not great. It's one of the best looking TV shows you'll ever see, but it's not particularly well written, and it's kind of lazily plotted in a lot of sections because Damon Lindelof just fundamentally isn't a very good writer. But, and here's the key part, it's entirely about, and I know it's gonna weird to say that Watchmen is about this, but it is entirely about the aftermath of the Tulsa Massacre.
It's funny, eh?
And it's a really strange thing to have made a Watchmen sequel about, but the genius of what Damon Lindelof and his writing team did here is he looked at Watchmen and he said, okay, well, Watchmen is obviously the best comic book that's ever been written under various metrics.
Yes.
But there is one giant blind spot in Watchmen.
Yep.
And I'll tell you what that is. Alan Moore is English. He's from Northampton. He's from the North. Okay? And so he has no idea what race, or had no idea at the time, what race is like in America. So he wrote an entire book about fascism and policing and, the culture of oppression in America with basically no black characters and with nothing to say about race in America. And I'm like, but these things, the culture of policing in America, which is what Watchmen is about,
Yeah.
and vigilantism in America is inextricably linked to white supremacy.
Yeah.
And he wrote a book about that without mentioning white supremacy.
Well, I
And
mean,
yeah.
not our heroes are not perfect.
No, he's not a flawless man. I've never claimed that about him. I think he's the world's greatest living writer. I don't think he's perfect. And it was a blind spot. It was absolutely a blind spot, and it is the one thing that's wrong with Watchmen. And even though this isn't the best story in the world and it's not a great show, just the fact that they're trying to quote unquote fix Watchmen by
Yeah.
looking it through the racial lens means that it's absolutely 100% worth watching. Just completely.
And it's so strange that these things are all, it's like a whole bunch of things are coming together, right?
Yes, all at the same time.
And you know, I mean, I was really pretty depressed, I'll tell you,
Oh, yeah.
for the longest time about all of this stuff going. Like there were weeks where I just didn't watch the news. I
Quite
at the
reasonable.
most I wouldn't listen to the news. I listened to all my other shows. Well, I would listen to The Current maybe,
Yeah.
but because American news was just so depressing and it just wouldn't change. And I knew, like, I know in my heart that these things take a long time and that, like, there has to be critical mass.
Yeah.
And that 8 minutes and 45 seconds of George with that man's knee on George Floyd's neck is what did it.
Open to everybody's eyes.
Like, yeah, the whole thing. But everybody was waiting for something. I don't think anybody knew that they were waiting for something this
No.
bad that they could actually hang their hat around.
Yeah.
That there are people who said, well, okay, this one is so wrong that
Yeah.
I can finally come up and say something, but I or join in these marches. So
But I mean, it is, and the problem, and I think you're right, it is an act so horrific
well,
that people can't close their eyes to it.
I mean, I would never suggest to anybody to watch this. And there are, and now you just see again and again, and then all of these cases over the last that didn't get any
Yeah,
traction,
coverage.
right?
Maybe the
Didn't.
Breonna Taylor cops are going to get arrested. They've
Yeah.
stopped no-knock warrants in Kentucky, or at least just in Louisville,
Yeah.
because of the how bad the Breonna Taylor murder was. So yeah, like this could happen. But
And the police union, I am not going to give them props for this
yeah.
because, but as we all noted at the beginning, when this happened, they didn't come to his, as you said, the
His
lawyers must have
defense.
told his defense, right? And now they have come out and made sort of, yeah, it's like, yeah,
Moves
say
to
what? You're a
they're
little
like, yeah.
late. No, they made a statement, right? And you're
Yeah.
just going, sorry, a little late to the game, aren't you?
They
But
are.
better late than never, you know.
Absolutely.
But well, yeah, but they're also, you know, I mean, when the chief of police just closed down any negotiations with the union, I mean,
Yeah.
they were being forced to do something. They were being forced to do something, but what the hell?
No, I mean, but it's great that they're doing it. Like it really is. They're at least saying they understand the need for change. Who knows if they'll try to sabotage that later, but at least they're saying they are. All right, so now your pick to cheer us all up, please.
Okay, now,
Putting a lot of pressure on you here.
okay, well, I'm not sure if this would cheer us up, but I thought that, okay, we were dealing with sexual harassment and sexualization and all of the rest of it in Black Queen this week,
Yeah.
right?
Oh,
So on
God, were we
Thursday.
ever?
Okay, so we did
Whew.
that. And then what I do when I am teaching my gender courses, I
Yeah.
don't do much of that anymore because, well, we don't have so many students at Algoma anymore. I don't, I haven't taught the
You
women
don't
yet.
have the opportunity
I
to
don't have the
assign what you're about to
opportunity,
say.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so there are things that I show them too. And this is really apropos because you have all of these guys in power, and that includes Ontario. I won't even talk about the horror in Ontario this week because it has nothing to do with any of this. Right? And so I try and get them to understand what it was like in the 50s. And all these guys want to go back to the friggin' 50s.
Yeah.
And as I would say, if you are a woman, if you are black in America, if you wouldn't want to go back to the 50s for any money in the world.
Nope.
You just wouldn't, right? And I,
Yeah.
but you try and explain this to people and they just don't understand. I mean, it's little things like, well, yeah, I couldn't wear slacks
I know.
to school. You know, in
Yeah,
the
leave like
winter.
they would be like go home.
It was just forbidden. So in the winter, you had to wear your heavy winter snow pants under your dress, But we all had lockers and stuff, but so that you could get out of them. But it is just like there were a lot of things, right? There were, I mean, and that's just like one of these little things. There are all sorts of horror stories. But what I show them are clips from these three movies. Well, not so much one of them, because the one that I'll end with is the one that everybody really should watch. But anyway,
All right, here are
but
the movies.
okay, so there's Guys and Dolls.
Right.
Okay, and then Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
Oh.
Okay, now as I would tell you, it's Marilyn Monroe's birthday today, apparently, on this. We're taping this on the
Saturday,
13th.
yes.
Yeah, on Saturday, on the 13th of June. I just found that accidentally.
That's an amazing coincidence.
Yeah, it was weird. But anyway, Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. Well, I mean, all you have to do, but Guys and Dolls just gives you, like, there's this one song that came to my mind because of something else. Like, it's marry the man today and change him subsequently,
Yes.
right? And there's all of these movies, all of these songs in this, and the whole sort of structure of male female relations without, how can I put it? Because I love it. I mean,
Yeah.
movie, there is nothing like, well, I don't like the Marlon Brando and what's his face, and I don't not like Frank. This was a movie everybody kind of does this, but and I'm not totally sure. Maybe somebody should try and gender up it. But you watch, and Frank Sinatra wanted to take the Marlon Brando part,
Brando part,
which
yeah.
is luck be a lady. That's what he thinks. He's the gambler. He's the
Sky
big
Masterson.
Sky Masterson. Thank you. You
Yeah.
know, and so he's going to. So, but Frank Sinatra's Nathan Detroit is brilliant. It's the
I mean,
best.
I understand that Luck Be a Lady Tonight is the big song in the play, but I all overall think that Nathan Detroit is the better part. I understand why he wanted the starring song. Like how in Grease, he stole the lead stole Grease Lightning,
Yeah,
which
which
is
what?
Kinnicky's song,
Yeah.
and he stole it for himself
Yes.
because it's the best song in the thing. Years later, that act would lead to his decision to steal that song would, through a very circuitous route, lead to Jeff Conway's death years later. A story I will explain another time.
Yes, okay.
But anyway, but yeah, no, I understand why he wanted that part, but why he wanted to sing that song. But Marlon Brando's not a very good singer, but it's still a wonderful performance in that movie.
Oh, sure. And when they're, when he goes things like, "Oh, Papa, I just got, what was it? Water? No, something in my ear." Anyway,
Yeah.
I can't remember right now. Right?
It's okay.
It doesn't matter. You have to watch it. I mean, like I'm saying, that you take a look at those relationships, and it was one of these big musicals. Like, I love
It
musicals.
is largely about gender relationships in the at that time past, but
Yeah.
commenting on how things are working today.
And what happened? Yeah. If you want to look, what go back to the 50s, right?
Yeah.
And you see these songs with the girl who wants, all she wants to do is get married, right? And he won't get married. And of course, she has a constant cold. And then after she and Nathan Detroit do get married, of course, he starts having the cold,
Of
right? This
course.
whole idea of marriage and, as I say, gender relations. Now, still doesn't stop me from loving it. But I saw this thing, what, like my mother, my dad worked 3 to 11, and my mother couldn't like to go to movies. She would apparently take me to some of these movies. This is how I
Right.
saw the one with Orson Welles, The Third
Third
Man.
man? Yeah.
Yeah, and when I was apparently my mother took me when I was like 2 and a half to see the third, and then I ended up with a phobia about underwater tunnels, like the Windsor
Yeah,
Tunnel.
sewers and stuff, yeah.
Well, not sewers and stuff, but underwater tunnels, like between Detroit and Windsor, there was the
Oh,
Windsor
yeah, there was a
Tunnel.
tunnel that went under the river.
And apparently I panicked the first time, But I
Because
would.
you had seen the third man. That's
But I didn't
hilarious.
know that. I didn't know that
Of
because
course,
then I
until years later.
panicked. No, and then
Yeah.
I panicked when I was going to visit my future in-laws at one point when we went under the Hochelaga Tunnel,
Oh.
under the St. Lawrence River. And I
And you realize,
literally
oh,
panicked. It
okay.
was all I could do to hang on and not open the car door and jump out, which would be a stupid thing to do.
Of
But that's
course.
how I felt. I still didn't understand. But I didn't understand it. But we never went in the Hochelaga Tunnel again.
Well, the damage this stuff does to kids, they don't really understand
Well,
until
because
years
I,
later.
well,
Because
no,
you had
and
no conscious memories of going to see the movie.
no,
So
and
how are you going to know where it comes from?
that's right. And then, but a year and a half later, The Third Man was on TV. And
Yeah.
so we watched it, and I'm watching this thing, and I'm going,
Seen
but I
this
know all
movie?
of this movie,
Yeah.
but I'd never seen it before, but I know all of this movie. And then when we came to the end scene,
Yeah,
and
them
I'm going,
chasing
oh,
Harry Lime through the tunnels of
shucks.
Vienna. Yeah.
And then we went to Florida to visit my parents and my aunt and uncle, who are all in Florida. And I'm bringing this up, and my mother says, oh, yeah, well, I took you to see that. Your dad was working 3 to 11. And I'm going, jeez.
This makes perfect
No,
sense.
it makes perfect sense.
It's
And then I
all
haven't,
coming together.
I didn't have the problem again. It's the same thing with all of these gender movies. Things get images, songs, whatever, particularly when you're young and you don't connect, right? You don't
Yeah.
understand this idea of somehow or another redeeming the bad guy, right? Somehow
Yeah.
or another, the love of a good woman is going to redeem all of these guys, right? That
Yep.
somehow or another, the perfect Salvation Army, they don't call it that, but the Salvation Army girl, right? She can redeem, the biggest
Sarah
gambler.
Brown.
Sarah, well, yes, Sarah Brown can redeem Skye Masterson because
Yeah.
of her purity, right? All of these things are just embedded in that film,
Yeah.
right? And so, and then you move on to Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. Well, that is just, that is again another one of those movies. That's Marilyn Monroe, right?
Yeah. And Jane Russell?
Oh yeah, and Jane Russell is just great
A
as well.
beautiful movie, a perfect movie, and in many ways, Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend is the most feminist song ever produced in one of these musicals. 'Cause it's right there.
But it's not the message of the song,
Oh, it's not the message of the
of the
film.
film, yeah.
But the message of that song is, yeah, no, I mean, the film is always, pro romance and love and blah, blah, blah. But
But
it's like,
it's not.
Diamonds Are a Girlfriend is the most beautifully clear-eyed message you will ever see.
About transactional relationships.
Yeah, about transactional
I'm
relationships.
sure Melania saw that when she was a
Oh, does she
child.
get? Absolutely. Melania understands transactional relationships.
Anyway, but you have to, when you look at that in terms of gender relationships and the
Yeah.
way like she's treated and manages to get around all of this, but it is also this, it's also pushing though, this American idea of no class, right?
Yes.
Because of course she wants to marry the nerd, right? And he's madly in love with her. She wants to marry the nerd, although she's doing all these weird things.
Yeah.
But you get the impression that somehow or another she's still a virgin.
I
Right? I mean,
know.
that's, in this movie. And then,
Implication, yeah.
yes, that's the implication. And so then when she talks to the father-in-law is opposed to this because he sees her as a gold digger.
Yeah.
And so you have that last conversation between her and her soon-to-be father-in-law, because of course he capitulates. But well, wouldn't you want the best? Why shouldn't I have the best? For your daughter? Well, why shouldn't I have the best? Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, I mean, I am not saying that these are anything to emulate, but they do teach you about the state of sexual relations and what they're trying to push in the 50s
They
in a
are an
good way.
amazing snapshot of the culture at the time,
Yeah.
of the stories, and it's like these are the stories that the culture was telling itself about itself at the time. And they are, I mean, they're charming movies, they're wonderful movies, but again, from a sociological standpoint, they're legit important.
Yeah.
'Cause these messages are, and it's like People are like, why are all white people racists? Well, they grew up watching North American television.
Yeah.
You know? I guarantee, if you gave me, I don't think of myself as a particularly racist person, if I took one of those implicit bias tests, I guarantee that my lifetime of watching movies with scary black and Middle Eastern people would show up in that implicit bias test. Because that's how implicit bias works. And implicit bias exists for gender relationships too, and what the role of women are. And as you point out, what the role of class is.
Yeah.
That's all gets rolled up in these stories that we tell each other.
Yeah, and money and all those other things. I mean, there
Of
are
course.
other movies, you know. I mean, I could bring up, but those two are epitome. Now, but the funny thing is, the other one that everybody like, you don't have to watch those two movies, except they're
You
fun.
should. You
Yeah,
should.
you should, because they're fun and the music is brilliant, and there is a bit of an undercut in all of them. And as you say, Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend, right,
Yeah.
is one of those,
It is.
right? It really is, right? And you can see it. And when Madonna did it, well, okay.
Yeah.
Now, but my last recommendation is one movie that I can watch again and again and again and again,
Which
right?
is?
Some Like It Hot.
Ah, just a wonderful movie.
Tony Curtis, Jack Lemmon, Marilyn Monroe, and Joey Lewis. Well, my good Lord. And it is, I mean, a lot of people watch less, but it's cross-dressing, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's a setup, and then these guys have to cross-dress so they can become. And then they become Marilyn Monroe's best friend, and she always falls for the saxophone player, you know.
Yes.
And there she goes again, right? But at the end, right, where it is epitomized by the very last scene, and you'll see it all over the place, right?
Oh, yeah.
Where Joey Lewis wants to marry Tony Curtis. He's going to bring
Yeah.
Tony Curtis home to his mother,
Yeah.
right? And Tony Curtis cannot get it through to him. And then he finally takes off his wig and says, "But I'm a man." And Joey Lewis looks at him and says, "Well, nobody's perfect."
Yep.
It is just the top of a brilliant movie that deals with a whole stack of breaking sexual norms by turning it
Yeah.
into a comedy.
Questioning mores through comedy.
Yeah. And it is just in that end scene, and like,
It's perfect.
and there's Jack Lemmon, because he's the one, right? Not Tony
Oh,
Curtis
yeah.
takes off the hat. Jack
Yeah.
Lemmon takes off his wig, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, and when he's out dancing with Joey Lewis, right? And then Tony Curtis, and so he's, and there's Jack Lemmon going, "But I'm going to marry him," and Tony Curtis is looking at him and going, "But you're a man." Whoa, you
Yeah.
know? But you see them out dancing, and you see them
Absolutely.
holding. It's just. It is a movie for the ages. That one transcends, of these three movies, that's the one that transcends sort of
Yeah.
the time constraint of
Yeah.
that period. The other two are bound by their structure, by their time overall. But Some Like It Hot was just this kind of, it's Billy Wilder, right? And it's just this kind of little trying to get at these issues so that it won't offend people.
Yeah.
You know, it does get at some of these issues of women and men, and oh, as I said, I mean, it you just
I get it.
and although, and as Tony Curtis famously said later on, kissing Marilyn Monroe was like kissing a cold fish. I can remember reading that somewhere and laughing,
Oh, God.
because it didn't matter. But and it is just brilliant, the ups and the downs, the problems that come up. It's a farce, of course, and it's set in terms of one of these, there's a crime film,
Yeah,
right?
at the
There's
same
the
time.
crime, there's it's this crime, right? that has been committed, the massacre of one family of another Italian
It's
society.
based on the St. Valentine's Day massacre.
Yeah,
And
because
they're witnesses to it, and they have to go on the run.
and they have to go on the run, so they join a girls' band.
Yeah.
Right?
No, and I mean, we're not going to go over the whole plot, but yes, I think it's fair to recommend those are three really good movies.
Yeah.
How to Marry a Millionaire,
No,
Guys and Dolls,
no.
not How to Marry a Millionaire, oh my God.
Some like it.
Some Like It Hot, yes.
So, gentlemen prefer blondes,
For
but
Blondes, Some Like
guys
It
for
Hot,
dolls.
Guys and Dolls, Some Like It Hot. I almost said, sorry, I said How to Marry a Millionaire, which is a
Well,
fun movie
well,
too.
that's
But
another one.
Gentlemen Prefer Blondes is, oh God,
Yeah,
so good. But
gentlemen
yes.
prefer blondes. And the funny thing is that last night,
Yeah.
because, well, you know, I have this 60s, 70s, 80s thing. And anyway, they showed, I had taped a while back, The Prince and the Showgirl. I had
Oh,
never
nice.
watched it. It's Laurence Olivier and Marilyn Monroe. Figure that one
Yeah.
out. And I mean, it's never had good reviews or anything
No.
else. The only thing that makes that movie, and it's, I'm not recommending anybody bother watching it. I mean, if you come across it and you want a sort of light little piece of fluff,
Yeah.
but it's not a good movie at all. I mean, it's Laurence Olivier must have needed money. He
He
directed
always needed money.
and starred in it, so it was done in England.
Yeah.
Now Marilyn, and of course this one is one of the Turner ones that has been, they've fixed the coloring and everything
They've
else.
remastered it,
Weird,
yes.
they've remastered it, and the color looks kind of weird. But I mean, it's okay, and it all comes out in the end. The plot is just your basic plot, and but Marilyn doesn't marry the. Doesn't marry the prince, the regent, in the end, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be 18 months, but she's the prince and the showgirl, and she is an amazing actress. There's no question. But you watch this thing, and it's yeah. I mean, I watched it. I suppose I sort of enjoyed it, except that I did whip through. There's a whole part in the set in the center. Where she just keeps looking in awe at the church while the king, it's George VI, and Queen Mary are being crowned. King George
Yeah.
VI crowned, I think it's the sixth, maybe it's the seventh, I don't know, I don't care. Anyway, right, and as they're coming down the abbey, and she has to, and so she's just looking around at everything while this music is playing, and it's like probably about 5 minutes. I just whipped through it. I just, because there was no commentary, there was no interaction, there was no nothing. It was just Marilyn being in awe of all of this place, right? And I'm just
Yeah.
like, okay, because she accidentally got to be there. But
Yeah.
it's
No,
a
and they're good ex and they are definitely good things to watch if you want a window into this mindset. And I think that's the
Yeah.
most, they're fun on their own, but as a window into this mindset that, as you say, everyone wants to go back to, like the right wing thinks they want to go back to.
Why? Well, yeah, I can see why these white men in power want to go back to that,
Yeah.
because they weren't responsible for anything. Didn't matter how,
Yeah.
what kind of jerks. Like the funniest thing in The Prince and the Showgirl, right,
Yeah.
is when she's, so she thinks she's going to a party at the Regent's, right?
Right.
No, that's not what it is, right? And when she gets, like, when the Regent's equerry brings her into, she looks at the room and says, "This is set for two. This is," and she looks at him, she says, "Well, I'm out of here. I'm out of here."
Right.
And he says, "Well, no, just," and and she says, "No," she just tells him exactly what's going to happen. She says, "With every man I've ever, and it's going to be, no, yes, it is, blah, blah, blah." And she just delineates exactly what's going to happen, right?
Right.
And what he's going to try and do. And she wants no part of it, and she wants to get out. But so anyway, it was a,
Definitely an interesting footnote.
yeah, there's an interesting footnote in all of this, and we would all recognize it. All these men who nowadays, though, they just use Rohypnol and rape. But
Well, yes.
in the old days before Rohypnol, it was what is it? Candy is no, but liquor is quicker. Candy is
Yeah.
dandy, but
Liquor is
liquor is
quicker.
quicker. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
the Ogden Nash line, and of course he feeds her all this vodka and stuff, right? Sure enough, because she ends up staying, and he says, "I'll come and get tell you your aunt, you know, your aunt's in the hospital,
Right.
and you have to leave." The equerry, which who is on her side of these thing, this thing, but anyway, it's as I say, it probably goes down. It's not a I mean, it's not a great movie. It's just a standard movie of all of this period of time. And you just watch all of these movies, and that's the only way you can kind of sometimes understand. I mean, we never took movies seriously, and then when you go back and look at them and what they're trying to portray and what they're saying, you know, because you're getting all of these movies, and then you're getting that counter of things like A Face in the Crowd, which everybody should go and watch.
Well, you could recommend A Face in the Crowd and talk
Next
about
time
that another day.
we'll
Yeah.
talk about
We'll
that
talk about that
another
next
day.
time.
Okay.
So, we should probably wrap up
Yep.
here. What are people going to be watching this Thursday? We've gotten through The Black Queen, which, whoo, doggy.
Okay, you won't.
So
Nope.
we're continuing to plow our way through season nine.
That's exactly it.
Okay, so
Plowing
everybody
through.
should enjoy that. It
No,
as
no.
much as it is possible to do so.
And as we know, it's going to start to get worse because when people start listening to season 13, you will see.
Oh yeah, it's gonna get worse. Anyway, so we'll see you back here for that. But for now, if you have any questions, if you have any comments, if you have any thing that's helping you get through all of this mishigas by watching it, drop us a line, let us know at profilingcriminalminds@gmail.com, and we'll be happy to tell everybody else to help them as well.
Yeah.
We'll see you back here. Oh yes, if you're listening to this on some sort of podcatcher, be sure to rate and review it because that's how people find the show. We'll see you back here next week for more of this, but until then, I'm going to say au revoir.
And I would say just wait until Thursday and you hear us talking about Mr. and Mrs. Anderson.
Profiling Criminal Minds is a member of the Kinks Podcasting Network.